Welcome along, everyone, to Inspiration Sounds and to more stories from the heart of the world. You're listening to episode 47 on Radio Sri Chinmoy from Haverstock Studios. I'm Budsamudra. Thanks for joining us. Well, folks, this week we have three stories for you. First one shall be You Too Can Be Free. The second one, I Wish to Be Fair. And the third, The Foolish Wisdom of a Brahmin. All stories, of course, are written from the pen of Sri Chinmoy. It gives me great joy and pleasure to present these to you today. So put your feet up, relax, or head out the door with your running shoes, or pass that time perhaps in traffic, or wherever you listen to Inspiration Sounds, wherever you are around the world. I hope you enjoy it. I'm Budsamudra. You Too Can Be Free, written by Sri Chinmoy and dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. One day, a young boy of 12 was playing all by himself under a tree. Suddenly, he saw a policeman waving a revolver and chasing a young man. Since the young man was running very fast and the policeman could not keep up, he asked the boy,
"Can you help me? If you run with me, I will definitely appreciate you, and also I would give you some money."
The policeman was a little bit older than the young man who was running away. The boy asked,
"Why are you chasing him?"
"Because I was asked by the higher authorities to arrest him."
"For what?"
"Because this young man belongs to a club that wants to overthrow the British rule."
But are you not an Indian?"
"Yes. Yes, I am an Indian."
"Then why are you doing this? Are you not ashamed of your conduct? A young man wants to free his country."
"I am only 12 years old, but I know how good it is to be free." "A little boy, eh? A little boy has to teach me all about freedom. I can shoot you. I can kill you."
"Well, then let me see you shoot me."
"I am very pleased with you. Very pleased. But I have to support my family, my children. Do you think I like my job? I have to arrest him so I will get a good reward. Then my children will be able to lead a comfortable life."
"Oh, forget about comfort.
Even to give them basic, ordinary lessons, I need this money. Otherwise, I also don't like the British government. I hate it. I hate it, I tell you."
"Well, if you really don't like the British, if you really want to work somewhere else, well, you don't have to work under the British government directly."
"Oh, then who will take care of me, huh? Hey, who will take care of my family?"
"God."
Oh, God. Oh, your philosophy, huh? God will take care of everybody."
At this point, the boy's father appeared. The father had been looking for his son, who had gone out alone to play.
"Come home, my boy. It is time to eat."
"Father," this policeman was laughing and mocking at me because I said God would take good care of him. He does not want to work for the British government, but because of his wife and children, he has to take this job. And now I am telling him that if he gives up this job, God will take care of him. He was chasing a young man who was trying to free his country, and he asked me to help him arrest the man."
The father said,
"God spoke through you, my son. I am ready to give this man a job in my office, if he is really sincere."
The policeman replied,
Oh, definitely. I will work there."
The gentleman said, "I have so many things to do at my office. I will promise to you a higher salary. I want to prove to you that my son was right when he said,
God takes care of us if we really want to do the right thing. To liberate us from the British government is absolutely the right thing. Not to help them in any way is the right thing. God spoke through my son's mouth, and now God is speaking again through my action. You come and work with me. I Wish to Be Fair, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudranox. A Sanskrit scholar used to teach in a college. One day the principal of the school said to him, "I have a piece of good news for you. You have been promoted." The scholar said, "Well, how can it be? I don't deserve a promotion." "But we need a teacher for the higher course," said the principal. "Oh, I can easily solve that problem. My own teacher is now out of employment. Where is he who deserves this post?" "He knows Sanskrit far better than I do. Let me go and tell him that you have a post for him. He will be able to teach very well. I assure you that you will be very satisfied with him."
"Oh, no, no," said the principal. "We can't take your teacher for the higher class when we do not know him at all. He can take your class, and you can teach the higher class."
"Well, that is absurd. I can't allow that. My teacher knows much more than I do."
"You have served this college for several years, so we know your capacity. Without knowing your teacher's capacity, how can we give him that post?"
"You have faith in me, and I have faith in my teacher. I know his capacity."
"If you do not accept this offer from the school, then you will stay where you are forever."
"You are trying to tempt me, but I am not tempted by you. Just because you have tried to tempt me, you deserve punishment. Either you accept my teacher for the higher class, or I am leaving this school."
The following day, the scholar did not come to the school. The principal was utterly amazed at the professor's love for his teacher. On the one hand, he was helpless. On the other hand, he was proud that he had such a self-giving man teaching in his college. So the principal informed the scholar to bring his teacher. When they were both standing before him, the principal said to the scholar, "I have never seen and perhaps will never see a man like you."
"No, you will see many. You will see many who will far surpass me. But I wish to tell you that in my life, when I am fair to someone, then God is fair to me. Only then, and not even one second before. So I always try to be fair."
Then the principal gave the higher post to the scholar's teacher, and the scholar resumed teaching his own class. The Foolish Wisdom of a Brahmin, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. They say that all fools are not really fools. Some only pretend to be fools. And again, all wise men are not really wise. Some just pretend. There was once a very poor Brahmin and Brahmini. The Brahmin was very, very idle, and his wife used to insult him. One day she kicked him out of the house.
"You are such a fool! Your idleness I can forgive, but not your stupidity!"
So the poor man was thrown out. He left his home, and at the end of 6 months, he came back. On that day, his wife was making special cakes. Although he did not enter into the house, from outside, he was secretly listening to the noise,
and he could easily count how many cakes she was making. Then he shouted aloud,
"Are you home?"
In India, husbands don't call their wives by name. It is just an Indian custom. However, his wife came outside, and she was so happy to see her husband.
"Now you can't call me a fool anymore. I have developed intuition power. I can easily say how many cakes you have made."
"How many?"
21.
She was so astonished. How could he have known when he had not even entered into the room? She was so happy and proud that her husband had become so wise and full of intuitive knowledge.
"Now that you know everything, let us beat the drum and tell all the villagers that you can save each and every one of them from their difficulties and dangers."
The husband agreed.
"Certainly, my wife."
Many people came to see the poor Brahmin. And each time he told them,
Not today. Today the Supreme Goddess is not pleased with me because I have done something wrong. I will speak to you some other day."
By this time, his wife had learned that her husband had only tricked her into believing that he had intuition power, and she had taught him to say this to the villagers. One day a man came who was very sad because he had lost his donkey. When the Brahmini heard the petition of the man, she instructed her husband,
"Don't say you will speak to him today."
Then on behalf of her husband, she said,
"Today the goddess is not pleased with him. Please, do not bother him. But if you come tomorrow, he will be happy to help you. I can see that tomorrow the goddess will be pleased with him."
Oh, the man was so happy that perhaps tomorrow the Brahmin would do something for him. That night, around midnight, the husband was sleeping, but not the wife. She heard a donkey braying, and she followed the sound. The wife was very tricky. She found the donkey and tied it to one of the pillars of the house. When the man came the following morning to see the Brahmin, he found the donkey there. It happened to be the same one he had lost. He was so happy and pleased, and he gave the couple some money. Well, the Brahmin's fame spread all over the village. Finally, the king came to know about the incident. The queen had recently lost her golden necklace, and both the king and the queen were very upset about this. They summoned this poor man to the palace. His wife also came with him, for she knew that he wouldn't know how to find the necklace. The man was trembling all over because, well, he was afraid of the king and afraid of the queen, afraid that they would punish him if he failed to find it. The wife told the king,
"He is trembling, not because he will not be able to tell you who has taken the necklace, but because you are so great. It is not because he does not have the capacity. It is because we are so insignificant."
"You have to find the necklace," said the king. "I have no idea whether it was stolen or misplaced."
"Oh, please, your majesty, give me a few days, as this is a most serious matter."
"Take as many days as you want, but I have to get it back. And when I get it back, I will reward you."
The Brahmin and Brahmini went home, and the Brahmin started crying to the goddess Jagabamba.
"Oh, please. Save me. Save me, save me, save me, oh goddess. I do not know who has taken this necklace.
the king is no good. Oh, perhaps the king will kill me. Oh, goddess, are you so unkind? Please, please save me.
At night, he cried in silence. During the day, he cried out loud. It happened that the next day, one of the king's maidservants, whose namesake was the goddess Jagabamba, happened to be passing by. She heard somebody crying because he was going to be killed, saying,
"Oh, goddess, goddess Jagabamba, why are you so kind? Where have you taken the necklace? You have to save me. Please save me."
The maidservant felt sorry because she was the culprit. She had stolen the necklace. She said to herself,
"I stole it, and because of me, this man is going to be hanged. He is crying so bitterly."
She came and told the Brahmin and Brahmini that it was she who had stolen the necklace.
"If you tell the king will kill me. You have to do something so that the king will not punish either of you or me."
The wife was so clever. She said,
"You have saved us, and now we will save you. Bring the necklace."
The maidservant went home and brought the necklace to the wife. Then the wife said,
"We will save you, don't worry. We will not betray you."
The maidservant said,
"Oh, they will never suspect me. They are so fond of me."
The wife put the necklace into a box that could float on water and went to the king.
"It will be good for my husband to concentrate at night. You see, he can concentrate better in the dark. Tonight he will come to your palace and concentrate on the necklace and let you know where it is."
The king was very happy.
"Do anything you want, only find the necklace."
That night, the husband and wife went to the palace. All the lights were extinguished, and they threw the box containing the necklace into a small pond near the palace. Then they went to the king and said,
"Oh, now we would like to meditate, and definitely we will be able to tell you where the necklace is."
They meditated for some time, and vision dawned on them. At that time, their vision was working powerfully, but the day before, they had had no vision.
"Please, send someone to yonder pond. There is a tiny box floating on the water, and the queen's necklace is definitely inside. My intuition is working today."
The king's guards found the box, and indeed, inside was the necklace. Then the king said,
"Who stole it? How did it get in the box?"
"You have the necklace," said the Brahmin. "My intuition goes only this far. You wanted to know where it was, and we found it. We have fulfilled your request. Now, it is up to you whether you will give us the reward or not."
"Why wouldn't I give it to you? You found the thing which had been lost. It is so precious to me, so invaluable."
So the king gave the Brahmin and his wife a very good fortune, and with that fortune they left their village. After all, if this kind of thing ever happened again, perhaps Jagabamba, the goddess, would not save them. And even now, perhaps Jagadamba, the maidservant, was not satisfied. Thank you for listening to Inspiration Sounds, episode 47. Well, that's all we have time for today, folks. But I hope you enjoyed those stories. I hope you have a great week. Be safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. But above all, have fun. Until next time, I'm Butsamudra. This was Inspiration Sounds.